Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your mother f***ing ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 179 of the Stone Age Gamer podcast for the week of December 8th, 2017. I am Chris Randazzo and joining me as always is procedurally generated monster Dan Ryan.
It's like I'm a new thing every time.
Every time you insert a CD in your PlayStation, you get a different Dan Ryan. It may be a tad late, but we're finally getting around to November's 10, 2030. But before we go any further, here's your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@geekade.com. Just include the word Stone Age Gamer in the subject line, and you can let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just say hello, because we always want to hear from you. Yes, you. So, Dan, how you doing?
Oh, Chris. Doing all right, I think. I don't know. It's been a special rare egg machine in Puzzle and Dragons, and it's 10 stones per pull, and I've gotten good stuff, but not the stuff that I want. And I don't even want like the super rare stuff. There's just one card whose name is TARDIS that I want, because he would be like ideal for one of my teams, and it's Christmas time and I don't buy a lot of stones anyway, so I was thinking like maybe we could send up like a GoFundMe page, and if all of our, you know, listeners, like if we could get 60 of our listeners to contribute $60 a piece, I think we would be I think my shots are pretty good. I think we'd be all right. Or like, if you can't do 60, like a dollar, then I think we'd be fine.
If you can't do 60, do 100. No, that's not how it works.
Yeah. Either way.
I'm bad at math.
No, me too. I think that makes sense. Something along those lines would be good.
So I thought I was close to the end of the story in Mario Odyssey because I was at Bowser's Castle, which I talked about was super awesome. I'm going to talk a little bit of spoilers here because I know you don't care. So heads up
to any of our audience who
doesn't want to know what happens. So I get to the end of Bowser's Castle and I fight all the Brutals again, those wedding planner rabbit things.
Right.
And then I catch up with Bowser and he basically knocks me out and flies away to his wedding on the moon. Because, of course, Bowser's going to get married on the moon.
Well, that's where I got married.
So you hop in the Odyssey, and you follow him to the moon. And then you get to run around on a giant moon level where there's, like, super low gravity. And it's like the game doesn't stop giving. It's so wonderful. Like, oh, and now I'm at a whole new... I'm on the moon, there's low gravity, there's new enemies, this is so wonderful. So, you can, like, climb up really high on these moon mountains and then, like, do these insane jumps off of them because there's low gravity, so you just go for, like, a mile. It's freaking fantastic.
That's awesome.
So, I obviously still enjoying Odyssey, and I did get to play a decent chunk more of Doom. I didn't sleep much for a couple of days over this weekend.
Sure.
My daughter decided, no, she didn't decide to, but my daughter's growing 3 molars right now.
Oh, that's not good.
It's brutal. I feel so bad for her. She loves just chewing on ice right now.
Oh,
just
no.
Go right over the freezer and just suck on a block of ice for a while because, you know, poor teeth. But
hey, you got to go with the waffles because they got built-in drool catchers. Belgians are better. It's bigger.
It's true, but we need to save the waffles for my son for breakfast because it's like all he'll eat for breakfast. But to side tangent there. So one of the mornings I couldn't sleep and it was like 3:30 in the morning. I had already been up for a couple of hours and I had to be up at 5:30 to get ready to go to work.
Right.
So I was like, fuck it. I tried writing an article and that wasn't working because I was so like, I can't be creative at this point.
No, so I can't be funny on 2 hours of sleep.
I sat down and played Doom for a while because I was pretty angry about being awake.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
I blew through all of level 2 when I started level 3. And God, I really like that game.
Nice.
I'm not great at it, but one of the things it's really good for is revenge.
Okay.
Because, like, all right, so I'm playing and I'm rolling through a level and I encounter a new enemy and he's just this giant dude who runs at you and just rams into you and stuff. Like, he's just this brutally fast dude that I can't stop with my regular shotgun blast. Like, they don't really slow him down. Obviously, he takes damage, but he just keeps running. So I died the first time I fought this guy and I was like, I'm gonna kill this bitch. So
this is happening
every single time. And I died like four or five more times trying to get through this part because I just kept getting more and more reckless every single time I went in there. Just like complete and total abandon. I'm gonna kill everything with as many glory kills as I can get. Cause have you played Doom?
No.
Okay. So what you do is when you shoot the bad guys, if you, you'd lower their health enough, they, and you, like, you can blow them up and whatnot, and you can just straight up kill them. But if you lower their health to where they're almost dead, they'll start to glow either blue or red. And that means that you can run up to them and do a really cool glory kill. Mm-hmm. And just, like, melee kill the heck out of them. I do that to everyone because it's wonderfully satisfying.
I do that as often as possible.
It's also how you get health back. Like, if you do it at the right time, you'll get a health drop from doing, more brutally killing an enemy. So
okay.
There's, like, regular zombies rolling around. I'll just bust out my pea shooter and hit them down to some lower health. And I just run straight towards everybody. I don't do anything tactical except maybe back up and run around in circles from time to time. That's the best I got. So I just kept every single time I died, like, all right, I remember you now. I'm going to kill that motherfucker first. I just kept going back angrier and angrier until I finally cleared the room. I was like, yay! Doom's great.
That's awesome.
Game is so great. And yeah, that's awesome. That's all I've been playing. I was going to write a story about Spelunker. But then the whole Mega Man news came out. But we're gonna talk about that next week. So
spoilers, man.
Spoilers. I like
spoilers for news that happened yesterday.
Yes, indeed. Spoilers. We're gonna talk about Mega Man next week, among other things. So let's get to November's 10/20/30. Our Mario retrospective ran long, so here we are in the second Friday of December. Doing the 10/20/30 for November. And November is traditionally a big month for releases, so we're going to try to blow through them as fast as we can. I know there's a bunch of games, at least in 2007, we're not going to have a whole lot to say about. So no. Let's kick it off. November 2007 saw the release of Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare for Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. Never heard of it.
No.
I've never even played it.
Really? You didn't even play the first Modern Warfare?
It looked neat, but
it's really good.
So like, not into first person shooters. It was like I thought it looked really cool, but I mean,
no, it's Call of Duty gets a lot of shit now, deservedly so, for becoming an annualized franchise and having, you know, 17 different developers working on it and like all of that shit. But Modern Warfare was fucking great.
And it was a big deal because this was the one that took them out of World War II.
Yeah.
And they, because the Call of Duty had been all about World War II up in this point.
Well,
like,
everything
had.
Screw it. Not everything. I mean, there was like SOCOM and stuff like that. But like the Medal of Honor and Call of Duty had been very, very heavily focused on World War II. And it, like, and they were fun and there was good stuff in there. But this really exploded. Call of Duty as a franchise. It was just so much fucking fun.
Yeah, this was the one that really rocketed that franchise to absolute stardom.
It is.
And deservedly so.
Yeah, it really is a fantastic game and was great to play online until all the bots came in and the cheating and the, you know, people basically playing with God mode ruined it and whatever, but it was a damn good time.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I did.
I was happy on the other end not playing. I have this game, okay?
Of course. So
the next game we're going to talk about, I got as a Christmas present, and I've never even turned it on. Fire Emblem Radiant Dawn for Wii.
I'm not a Fire Emblem guy.
I am not either. I'm sure I would be if I really gave it a shot, but I think we talked about this before. I don't remember how we brought it up, but we were talking about, like, tactical RPGs or something. Mm-hmm. Oh no, that was not on this show. That was I guessed it on the Whip Around podcast, and they asked me what kind of game I've never been able to get into, and it was tactical RPGs like Final Fantasy Tactics, Fire Emblem,
Advance Wars,
Shining Force.
Fucking crazy person.
And it's not, it's just a matter of every single time I've been presented with one of them, I've said to myself, well, this is going to take a stretch of time for me to sit down and learn, and then I will be very happy about the fact that I know how to play this game. And that stretch of time has never happened.
Has never materialized.
It's just never come up. So I did come close with the first, I think the first 3DS Fire Emblem that everyone loved. I played the demo of it, and I started getting into it, and then I had to go to bed or something. And
that was the end of that.
But yeah, this was the...
Fire Emblem's been around since when?
In America, it's been around since the Game Boy Advance. In Japan, it's been around since the NES. It's as old as like Zelda and Mario, basically.
Yeah. I think I played the Game Boy Advance one and liked that one, but it wasn't Final Fantasy Tactics, and it wasn't Advance Wars, so it just didn't hook me. Plus, it has permadeath, which...
It does, yes.
Is just hard.
It's a little scary to me. And this was a I think a direct sequel to Path of Radiance for the GameCube, which I also have and have never played. You know, it's like I knew the characters from Smash Bros. Like, oh, Fire Emblem games, I gotta get them. Oh man, I gotta play these. They look great. And then I got the Wii one for Christmas and just never got around to it. But Fire Emblem. I find it so strange that this was a franchise that, like, they didn't even try to localize for the longest time until the characters got popular in Smash Brothers Melee. And they're like, ah, let's throw them a Fire Emblem game. And the series has slowly gotten to be one of their biggest franchises.
Oh, yeah, it's huge.
Fire Emblem is one of Nintendo's biggest names now, which is insane to me.
Yeah, it is pretty nuts.
And it's one of the ones that I have little to no connection to.
All right.
But, whatever.
Don't you dare even mention these next two games.
I'm just going to say them out loud, but we're not going to talk about them. The first Mario and Sonic came out for the Wii, as did Super Mario Galaxy. If you want to hear more about those, listen to the previous episodes. Let's see. Then we got, I forgot all about this, I guess, franchise. Kane and Lynch came out for PS3 and 360.
Yeah.
I didn't play this, but I worked with somebody. I either worked with somebody or it was a customer of mine that was just completely and totally into this. I don't know. There's something about it just didn't really grab me. Like, what was this game? It was like one of them was you were two serial killers or?
I don't even remember.
I don't remember.
I was so done with this type of game at this point of like, gritty, tough, shooting people, fucking like. Yeah. I don't know. I was just kind of done with it.
It didn't.
I don't remember very much about it, to be quite honest.
I do not either. Well, this is darn good podcasting.
Yes.
If you're a Kane and Lynch fan, please write to mail@geekate.com and let us know why.
I'm gonna go ahead and guess we're not gonna get a ton of fucking responses to that.
Yeah, I don't know, man. This was just, I'm aware of this game. That's the best I got.
Yeah.
We got Medal of Honor Heroes 2 for the Wii, which is another game I never played because I don't care. This is a weird one because here we are. We've got Modern Warfare came out this month.
Right.
And then they're like, all right, well, EA is going to drop a new Medal of Honor game. Except it's going to be on the Wii and it's still World War II. And I heard really good things about the game, but as in really good things, it's like, hey, this is a pretty good game, but what's the point? Modern Warfare just came out.
Yeah, that was pretty much what was going on with that. Plus, like, the Wii was not really the first-person shooter system.
No, and I appreciated that they tried to make it that way because when the controls worked, like when the IR controls and nunchuck, like it's theoretically a really good setup for first person shooters. It's much more equivalent to like a keyboard and mouse setup. Like I really liked playing Metroid, for example, with those controls because it worked. I really liked playing Red Steel 2 with those controls because it's a great setup for a first-person shooter, but at that point in particular, first-person shooters were as people liked them for as much because they were good and or fun, like for the types of games that they were, but also because of how good they looked. Like first person shooters, because you don't have to worry about animating your main character, it's so much easier to make a first person shooter look really good than a third person action game. And so new, like great graphics were a big part of why FPSs sold at that time.
Yeah.
And the Wii was just completely incapable of. Yeah, I mean, you could have great looking Wii games. They existed. Super Mario Galaxy is one of them. But when you're going for absolute realism, especially next to the HD PS3 and 360,
right?
The Wii not being in HD is still silly to me. But
it's one of the most ridiculous things that Nintendo has ever done. But
like, I get it, but it was so short sighted, and it really, I think that really hurt them in the long run. Because when you get right down to it, if even with the lower poly counts and stuff that the Wii was pushing, if it was an HD, I think it would have been a lot more forgivable for folks. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't, you know, especially if they're plugging a Wii into their fancy HD TVs and they don't want to get component cables. And then you're just plugging in the regular composites. There's no HDMI out, and composite cables look like trash on an HD TV. So
really do. They really, really do.
Bad situation all around.
Yeah.
We got Metal Gear Solid Portable Ops Plus for PSP.
This was interesting. I mean, I know it's another game
that I've never played.
Yeah, we covered all of the Metal Gear games. I can't fucking talk tonight. Jesus. We covered all of the Metal Gear games previously, but this one was just weird because it was the Portable Ops game, but no story mode. It was just like all the multiplayer modes, and then they added this other thing where you could do like randomly generated little short missions. It was weird. And like, what was especially weird about it is that Metal Gear is a franchise that is historically known for releasing a plus version of the previous game with like extra stuff added, and this one seemed like it has the same name. Like, oh, this is just Portable Ops, but like plus more stuff, as opposed to like Portable Ops plus other stuff minus the stuff we took out, with a few other things that we changed around a little bit, which I guess was just too long of a title because it's not published by Squeenix. Because if it was, it would have been Metal Gear Portable Ops 33572 pi r squared and an 8.
Birth by sleep.
Birth by sleep and death.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, so that's what it's a weird choice. It's a weird name. It's good. I mean, because Metal Gear Solid Portable Ops was good, but
I didn't really mess around with this because it didn't have much in the way of single player, and
yeah, no,
I'm not really down with the whole Metal Gear multiplayer thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on, we got Resident Evil: The Umbrella Chronicles for Wii. Oh, I love this game.
Do you
really
what is this one?
Finishing it. This is House of the Dead Resident Evil style.
Okay, right.
The Umbrella Chronicles and the second one, the Dark Side Chronicles or something. They're arcade light gun shooters.
I think they eventually re-released these on PS4 as well. I think I have them.
I think it was PS3 that they did that on.
Might be PS3.
Yeah, because PS3 did a lot of that. When it was around PlayStation Move, I think, when they re-released these.
Yeah.
So I feel like that was PS3, but I could be wrong. Either way,
is this the one that
game.
Has like the big snake, like towards the beginning, or was that the second one?
Oh God, I don't remember.
Maybe it's not a snake. An alligator? There's something in the fucking water. Titanoboa? I don't remember.
Either way, it's cool. Oh, God. Sorry. I love light gun shooters. I love light gun rail shooters. I just adore those kinds of games. They're just super stupid fun. And I really liked that Capcom went ahead and took a stab at making it more than just an arcade thing, you know? Like,
took a stab. Ha! Resident Evil.
I'm hilarious.
I beat the game on knife mode with tofu.
Oh, boy, this next one is wonderful. Oh, this next one. It's Contra 4 for Nintendo DS. I love this game.
Do people even like Contra?
I mean, some people do.
I like this one. I liked it because it was not as hard as the rest of them. It was still hard.
I guess. I don't know. I thought this one was harder than Contra 3.
Really?
I don't think it wasn't as hard as Contra Hardcore, but I feel like Contra Hardcore was the hardest one for me.
Contra Hardcore is so fucking hard. I love the art style on that one, though. So good. This God, was
speaking
awesome,
of art
though.
Style, yeah. This game was wondrous. Just it looks so wonderful. Good. It looks great. It plays great. It's way forward, making a brand new 2D Contra game on the DS. It took advantage of the dual screens really well. You were playing on, you know, both screens at all times. You had that cool grappling hook thing. Completely insane missions. You could unlock fucking probotectors from like the European versions of the games. God, Contra 4 is a freaking masterpiece.
The bosses look awesome.
They really do. We were at me this and everyone at my store at my Game Crazy at the time were just obsessed with this game. We went through it on all the difficulty levels and just we had an absolute blast with that. I love the weapon stacking. Like you would get like the flamethrower and it would be the freaking useless little spinny fireball thing you from the first Contra. And then you'd get another one of the power ups and then it would turn into the super awesome fireball launcher from Super C. And oh my God, Contra 4 is so good.
It is good.
I wish there was a good way to re-release it on modern consoles, but
there would be. Just combine have to the two fucking screens.
It would, yeah, it would just have hard. To be retooled.
it's like the screens weren't that big. There's not that much real estate to put on there.
Yeah, I guess you could just expand the horizontal reach.
Yeah.
Or even just make it so that you can't see all of both screens at the same time. It would take some considerable retooling. It wouldn't be just a straight and dirty port, but this game is so, so good. It should be played by everyone. It's fantastic.
It's definitely worth it.
If you like Contra, you have got to play this game.
If you like hard games, play this game.
I don't know anything about this next one. SmackDown versus Raw 2008.
It's more SmackDown versus Raw. I wrote about SmackDown versus Raw on Why I Love Wrestling, because I've been covering wrestling games this year, for the most part, except when the website pisses me off. But spoilers, maybe not so much in the future.
Yeah,
it's really good. The SmackDown versus Raw games were really cool because they added a lot of the for the time higher resolution stuff that we had all really, really wanted to see in wrestling games, because as much fun as the N64 games are to play, they look like the facial animations are non-existent.
They look like Nintendo 64
they
games.
Look like Nintendo 64 games, which is a problem. But this played very well. It had, you know, the story mode stuff was good. All the music and the videos and the creator wrestler stuff was all really good. It was really fun.
I know these games all sold well, so.
Yeah, I mean, I could be wrong, but I think 2007 is when they started to annualize them. You know, as just SmackDown versus Raw 07, 08, 09, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they all had like subtitles or.
Yeah.
It's like SmackDown, Know Your Role, and SmackDown,
Here
I
Comes
like
the
pizza.
Pain. That's my. But, yeah, I mean, it was good. Wrestling games have been so stagnant for so long, and this one didn't really do anything to make it any better. And what's really infuriating is playing like some of the modern wrestling, like WWE games, and seeing some of the same problems that existed in games going as far back as this.
That is like kind of ridiculous.
Weird clipping animations and like wrestlers' hair going through the mat, like weird glitches. There's just like, if you do a YouTube video search for wrestling game glitches, there's just some ridiculous shit that happens.
Yeah, it's like, come on, guys, you can do better than this.
But they don't have to, because they sell, and it's an annualized franchise.
That's true, and there's not like a whole lot of competition going on there. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody else is making WWE games.
Yeah, and we're not getting New Japan games over here, and Fire Pro is just recently back, and, you know, they really haven't had to try all that much. It suffers from a lot of the same problems that Madden suffers from, honestly, of just doesn't matter. We can just do whatever we want to do.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Need for Speed Pro Street, another game I've never played.
It's not Tokyo Extreme Racer. Tokyo Extreme Racer Zero was a fuck. That was a PS2 game. That was my favorite like street racing game. Need for Speed did the, they went underground, I think, and then the pro street stuff. I think, I don't know. Remember.
I had a hard time keeping track of all the Need for Speed games because they started being annualized as well.
They did. This is the, around this time, like around 2006, 2007 is when we really started to see the annualization of games start.
Mm-hmm.
And
of non-sports games.
Yeah. And it has been a gigantic fuck-off problem since then. Because there's only so much you can do, you know? The Need for Speed games are always very good. Like, they're always very well-made games, but...
they're just not extraordinarily different from one another.
Right. And fuck, it still wasn't Burnout.
Yeah, Burnout's awesome.
You know what I mean? Like, it still wasn't Burnout. So,
let's see. We got Rayman Raving Rabbids 2. Which I bought because I enjoyed the first one, and I could not tell you a single thing about this game. I remember I bought it and I played it, and I think this was really when the luster wore off for me, and I wasn't genuinely interested in the Rabbids again until they made Rabbids Go Home, which is a really cool, action adventure game about rabbits in a shopping cart, because it wasn't a minigame collection anymore. And
right.
That was like the first one was kind of surprising because it was like, okay, I like these character designs and I like Rayman and I'm fighting these insane rabbit creatures and it's a minigame compilation. But at least they're kind of fun and it's showing off some of the motion controls, which was really right. novel at the time.
Right.
But then they just kept going and I stopped caring. But Ubisoft also released the very first Assassin's Creed in November of 2007.
I forced myself to like that game way more than it was worth.
Yeah, I couldn't get into it, and I think it was because, and it's really the same reason that I don't get into Assassin's Creed today, is that it's not Prince of Persia, and I'll always be bitter about that.
I really do like the idea of that franchise. I was so fucking hyped for the first Assassin's Creed. And for the first little bit, I had a lot of fun with it. And then I realized that they had a kind of cool idea and didn't really make a great game around it. And it got way, way better with the second one. But then again, it started being an annual thing. And it was like, all right, I'm fucking done with it. I'm sick of this.
That's where this was one of those franchises I can't believe they annualized. I feel like this would be so much more special if they didn't do that, if they really put a ton of effort into every 2 years or something, crank out an Assassin's Creed. Like, this game should happen as often as God of War happens.
Right.
Because if they put that much effort into making sure it was the latest and greatest and a damn good thing, I feel like the series would have a lot more going for it. But I think people are pretty burned out on it. I mean, I guess I could be wrong because I think the latest one sold a crap load of copies, but it's so far off my radar, I don't even know what the latest one is.
Well, and that's the shitty thing about it, is because there's a lot of settings that the stories take place in that I'm super interested in, and they've done some really cool things with it. Like, there was shit with the Revolutionary War and George Washington, and this latest one is taking place in ancient Egypt. That's fucking cool, like going into pyramids and shit. Like, that's awesome. I love that idea. Not going to play it because I got so fucking sick of it.
Yeah, you know,
and I'm still bitter about Assassin's Creed 3. About fucking, I think we talked about it on the show a couple years ago when I was living in Texas and I had rented the game from like a Redbox or some shit, and there was supposed to be a guy that was supposed to show up and drop off like a musket or some shit so you could get onto the next part of the level. But like, he just never showed up because of the game glitch.
That's right. I remember that.
I was spending like an hour and a half trying to figure out what the fuck I was supposed to do. I was so mad. I don't like when games make me feel stupid. You know what I mean? Like, I know what I'm doing. Played video games before. I half read the text. I know what I'm supposed to fucking, but he's not here. What do I have to do? Like, and reloading the game and reloading the game, and it still wouldn't happen because it saved with the glitch. Oh, fuck this. I'm done. Completely done. Unlike the next game on the list, which did not have that problem.
No, definitely not. How crazy was November 2007?
It's insane.
Like, this reading down this list. So also in November of 07, we got Uncharted Drake's Fortune for PlayStation 3.
Which is so good.
It's still so good. It's not as good as the second one, but it's...
No. It's and not as good as the fourth
good
one.
Game. And this was, like, this was the first game that I saw that made me say, okay, I absolutely need to get a PlayStation 3. Like, I need to get a PlayStation 3. This is besides Metal Gear Solid, of course, because I had to buy it for that. But Uncharted was like, wow, this is really cool. And it is. I eventually did get a PS3 and I bought Uncharted and I did not regret it.
No, not at all.
The first two games and I would play through the two of them again, given the opportunity and time, which
one of these days you really do got to get a PS4 and play through Uncharted 4. It is.
I do. And I got to play through 3 as well. I started 3 and I never finished it. And
3 is also really good. Yeah. Like, and this one, it took me, cause we talked about it a little bit earlier this year. When I was just sitting there and I played through like all 4 games in like a week. Mm-hmm. You know, like it did take me a little while to get back into it and remember that I wasn't playing Dude Raider, that it was, it is a very different game.
It is, yeah.
You know, it certainly wasn't present, like, going back to 2007, it was presented as Tomb Raider. Like, this was the male version of Lara Croft, and, you know, there was some similar marketing elements, and, you know, but then the game came out, and it is a very, very different experience. And
it's like when people tried to say Black and Bruised was the new Punch-Out. Like, no, it's not.
No.
It's a boxing game that's cartoony, but it's not the same thing.
Right.
And Uncharted is very much not Tomb Raider. It's a lot of scripted experiences. Scripted experiences, interactive cutscenes, crazy over-the-top action set pieces, great writing, lots of murder.
It is just an irresponsible amount.
It is so murdery.
Of murder.
For a character
that we still like. That's like a charming, quippy, fun guy. He is a ruthless son of a bitch.
In the confines of the gameplay. In the cutscenes, it seems like it's a little bit more grounded in reality. But when you think about it, when you're playing the game, you murder a lot of dudes.
Oh, yeah. Like, and it... What I think is really cool about it, at least on the collection version, it gives you your gameplay stats. Because I never finished it when it originally came out, so maybe it does on there as well.
I honestly don't remember. It might.
But it gives you your stats of like how many guys you killed. And it's like, oh, I killed like 2,000 people. Jesus.
That's crazy.
I'm sorry. I didn't, man.
I'm a monster.
I am a fucking horrible person.
I was the villain this whole time.
I mean, really? Oh boy.
Breaking. Another heavy hitter landed in November of 2007 that I have no affection for at all, but Mass Effect came out on Xbox 360.
It's very good.
That's what I'm told.
I like it.
I couldn't read it at the time.
No?
No, it was this game came out, I bought it and brought it home, and I sat on my couch. I didn't have an HD TV at the time.
Oh, yeah.
So I plugged it into my 360, and every single time there was text on the screen, I had to get up and walk up to my TV and squint to try to read it. Mm. There was no way to change any of that. Like, this game was made for HD TVs.
Yeah.
If you don't have one, you're shit out of luck.
Yeah, you really
because
are.
Because I couldn't read a damn thing. And
thankfully,
I played...
there's not a lot of reading in BioWare games.
Yeah. Well, I messed around with the first chunk of it, and the next day I returned it. It was like, I didn't return it. I kept it. It's around here somewhere. But I never played it again after that. Because it was in like another 2 years before I even got an HDTV, and there was just no way for me to play it.
It is a very, very good game. I wish I had more time to finish all of them. But it is really good.
Yeah, I'd like to really give it a serious shot one of these days. It looks like it's right up my alley, but...
It is. It 100% is. I mean, it makes me sad that it's not more Knights of the Old Republic, like that they're making other shit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because, like, Knights of the Old Republic and Knights of the Old Republic 2 were awesome, and then Jade Empire was good, but not Knights of the Old Republic, and then the four Mass Effect games that we've had since then are still not Knights of the Old Republic 3.
This is one of those franchises I really wish they would put on Switch, because this seems like the kind of thing that I'd be able to get into on Switch, and it's never going to happen, because EA is all stupid.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that next week.
Well, we put Mass Effect 3 on Wii U and it didn't sell. Well, no shit, Sherlock.
Yeah, we're going to have a decent amount to say about EA next week.
I bet we are.
I'm very unhappy.
I'm looking forward to hearing specifically why, because there's a whole litany of things to pick from.
There is.
Speaking of EA, we got the original Rock Band in November of 2007. Cool. I love Rock Band.
We talked about this a couple weeks ago. I miss when these games were novel.
I do too. Like, you can still play them now, but it's not that time when everyone was playing them.
Oh man, it was just, it was so much fun. No matter where you went, any house you went to, anybody and everybody had a full set of bullshit little plastic instruments that you could go and play this fucking really fun experience with a bunch of people. Like, it was awesome. It was so fun.
I was really glad that Harmonix, you know, went this route. You know, it's I really like Harmonix. I think they're a really interesting company, and they put out a lot of really cool games, including the which I'd love to try. Their newest release is it's like Rhythm Sports or something for Switch.
Yeah.
I gotta try this game. I haven't gotten around to it yet because it's like, do I really want to spend money on this? I wish there was a demo, because it just seems like such an interesting concept. And as soon as I found out it was from Harmonix, it's like, okay, I'm interested.
Yeah, I'm in.
You've peaked it.
This was just so good. I mean, Guitar Hero was fun. Guitar Hero 2 was more fun. Guitar Hero 3 was like, all right,
settle down.
Slow your fucking roll there, homeboy. But man, like, the drum thing was really cool. Like, the drum controller was really fun. And God, like, I really did love this game. And it had an incredible list of songs.
It did, yeah. It had a really good list of songs. I do remember hating this game as a retailer.
Oh, God, yeah. Put these giant fuck-off boxes somewhere.
We got 10 pre-orders. Okay, where are we putting 10 of these things?
Yeah, right?
Our stores were not designed to hold things this big. And, oh, God, that whole experience with the drum kits and everything, just, it really had a strange, strange effect on retail outlets.
So good, though. So good.
Well, I'll tell you what isn't so good is our next one. And the only reason I bring it up is because it's such an interesting thing. Soul Calibur Legends for the Wii.
I have not played this.
It is not good.
I don't feel like I've missed anything.
For some reason,
it is the ugliest Soul Calibur game.
Oh, by far. For some reason, when the idea of bringing Soul Calibur to the Wii came up, so Soul Calibur 2 was on Xbox, GameCube, and PS2, and each version had its own unique guest character. And the GameCube version outsold the ever-loving garbage out of both other versions combined, because the GameCube version's special character was Link. And that's
great.
Which
is awesome.
It was awesome.
And
I loved Soul Calibur 2. Yeah, he was super cheap.
Oh my God, you could bring out fucking anybody with that.
Yeah, his throw was ridiculous.
Stupid ass throw. Oh my God, it was fucking infuriating.
Where he jumps over your arm and tosses you.
Oh my God,
I loved playing as Link.
I loved playing as him too.
The downward thrust was great.
It was really good. Who was the PlayStation and Xbox? This was before
PlayStation
the Star
was
Wars.
Hayachi and
that was
Xbox was Spawn.
Yeah, that was this stupid shit.
Yeah, Hayachi. Look, Hayachi's a cool character, but it's a weapons fighter, for crying out loud.
Right. Like, and wasn't God of War was out at this point when Soul Calibur 2 came out, right?
I think so, yeah.
You couldn't fucking put Kratos in there. I mean, he eventually made the PSP version, and he's awesome in that fucking game, but like, Hayachi, really? It's a weapons-based
really
fighter,
lame.
And you gave me a dude with no weapon? because his hands are a weapon. Like, I grew up in the 80s. I saw The Perfect Weapon. That movie sucked. And the PS2 version of Soul Calibur 2 can get fucked as well.
So the GameCube version of Soul Calibur 2 sells extraordinarily well. So what happens with Soul Calibur 3? PlayStation exclusive. So for Nintendo's next system, the Wii, let's give them an exclusive Soul Calibur game, because Nintendo fans like Soul Calibur, right? They bought the heck out of the GameCube one. Let's make a new Soul Calibur just for the Wii, except it's not a fighting game. It's a 3D action adventure thing, and it's trash. It's a waggle fest. It's hideous. I think the characters were Killik and Ivy, I think, were the two main. I don't even remember. I know Ivy was one of them, but.
Well, yeah, because, you know, she doesn't wear pants. What I've always really liked about Soul Calibur is the story, obviously. That's my favorite part. And playing a game that is. Did they not fucking learn? Like, it even has the same title. Or no, it doesn't. That's Mortal Kombat Mythology. Never mind.
Yeah.
Or was there a Mortal Kombat Legends? There probably
was.
No,
I don't think so.
Have we skipped it? How have they missed that? It's the same fucking idea, though.
Yeah. I can't think of a character, like, all right, so Mortal Kombat Mythologies or whatever and that kind of stuff. When I think of Mortal Kombat, the idea of, let's say, an action game starring Scorpion or Sub-Zero, that's a sound idea. That's a concept that could work. There aren't any characters in Soul Calibur that I want to play an entire game of that character.
I don't know. I would play like a life simulator for Volvo. like him talking to Mrs. Voldo before he's off to fight, and like she's strapping him into his bondage gear, like, and you've got like a branching dialogue tree that you have to pick from, and like you piss her off, she like tightens your straps too tight, and you're like, oh fuck, all right.
I want Octodad Voldo Edition.
Yeah, like I'm into that game. I'm just fucking rolling around, like going to pick the kids up from school.
Or Animal Crossing Voldo Edition. Voldo needs to be in more games, really.
He really does. Like, he needs to be a skin in Super Mario Odyssey. Like Mario in the Voldo outfit.
Mario throws his hat at Voldo. The horror. The horror.
Best idea ever. Have WayForward make it, and you've got a fucking million seller on your hands. No, just what a stupid idea. What a dumb fucking idea.
This was not a good play. And it was like, well, how do we make a motion-controlled Soul Calibur? I know. Well, you know what you do? You don't make a motion-controlled Soul Calibur. Just make a Soul Calibur game and put it on the Wii, for crying out loud.
Step one is don't.
Yeah.
Step two, try not to make Castlevania Judgment. Gross. God, the Wii is terrible.
The Wii is home to lots of terrible things.
It really, really
some
is.
Some of the most terrible things.
Yeah.
All right, and finally in 2007, this was not the biggest game by any stretch of the imagination, but it is a super great game if you've never played it, and that is Geometry Wars Galaxies. Came out on the Wii and the DS. Have you played this one?
I'm looking it up now. I don't remember if I've played this one. I've played other Geometry Wars games.
This was, I think, the first time that they did Geometry Wars with, like, a campaign mode.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like Geometry Wars was just that super cool, like, here's the rectangle and you go nuts and have fun and basically playing a souped-up Robotron or whatever.
Yeah.
And Geometry Wars Galaxies were where you go to, like, different shaped stages and there'd be, like, you know, areas for you to go and corners to get trapped in and stuff. It was a super, super interesting game. It looked and controlled great with the Wii. The IR pointer for pointing to where you want to shoot instead of moving around a twin stick kind of thing worked very well. I didn't play the DS version, but I really liked the Wii game. It's just a great game. Any Geometry Wars is great.
They really are. They really are super fun. Like, I got so tired of fucking hearing about it from when it was, oh God, what was the Xbox Live Marketplace?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was one of the, if I'm remembering correctly, like, one of the first big, like, all right, no, but this is, like, for real, this is awesome.
Yeah, it was one of those, the first ones of those.
Like, no, this is great. Everybody should fucking play this game. And you look at it, and if you just look at it, it doesn't look like it makes any sort of sense whatsoever, and it looks impossible to play. Like, if you're just looking at a screenshot, But then you pick it up and it just plays so perfectly.
Once you see it in motion, just all the particle effects make sense. It's just a glorious game.
It's just so fucking good.
All right, we're going to take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about the games that came out 20 and 30 years ago, 1997 and 1987. You're listening to the Stone Age Gamer podcast from Geekade.com. Stick around.
And now here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com.
First up, have you ever wanted to glide through the air, but a hang glider just won't cut it?
Uh-huh.
Have you ever wanted to dress in a ridiculous green spandex outfit and commit crime?
Every day.
Have you ever wanted to commit said crimes with all the flair and fashion of a child's toy?
Definitely.
Well, my friend, then you have a little something in common with the DC Comics character named Charles Brown. Really, though, that's actually his name. Learn all about him and welcome to the D-list, Kite Man.
Oh, I thought it was Light Bright Man. Light Bright's awesome.
A bullshit Mega Man villain.
You know that if Kite Man was a Mega Man villain, he'd be awesome.
He'd be made out of springs for some fucking reason. What are you doing? Jesus, Capcom. It's right there in the name.
No, he'd be lightning-based. You'd probably, like, the weapon would be, like, a kite that you shoot out, and it, like, floats to the sky and then drops lightning bolts out of it.
Would it have on spats and buckle shoes like Ben Franklin?
Definitely.
It so would, wouldn't it? Jesus, it'd have a powdered wig. Oh, this is the best idea ever. God damn it. When is Mega Man 11 coming out? Is there still time?
It's like a year from now. There's definitely still time. It's
definitely time.
Then, the universe went ahead and made a SpongeBob musical, and while your gut reaction may be to curse the heavens, demanding to know why we live in such a horrible world, if Geekade's Chip Garrison is to be believed, perhaps it's not as terrible as you might think. Dare we say the SpongeBob musical could actually be good?
No, we don't dare.
Find out in Are You Ready, Kids? SpongeBob SquarePants the Musical Takes Broadway, located in the Think Tank.
Sigh of derision.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Is that what that was? Okay.
Finally. Oh my god. What happened? There we go. Finally. Sports are good for a number of things. Entertaining the masses, paying people way too much money, outstanding commercials, and of course, crippling and utterly devastating disappointment. Being a Philly sports fan, Dave DiIorio is no stranger to being let down by his team, so as Geekade's resident expert on the subject, he decided to write all about it. Find out what Stephen King novels, classic video games, and winning seasons from historically terrible sports teams have in common and heartbreak potential located in the Think. Just as an aside, Eagles fans listening to this podcast, your team may have a lot of wins, but you've only beaten one team that's over 500.
They lost their most recent game, right?
That's right. That's why they have only beaten one team that is over 500. It's not all that impressive.
It's super fun because Dave wrote this article before that game.
Nice.
I think like right in the beginning he says, they very well may lose their next game. And sure as hell they did.
And they sure as shit did. I know you don't like the football there, Chris, but it has been so bad this year.
Well, I mean, we were recording
objectively bad.
We were doing it was Monday night when the Steelers were playing the Bengals, and Karen, my wife, is extremely into the Steelers. Her family's from Pittsburgh, and I'm just down here having a meeting with Evan and Dean. We're talking about revamping the website, and I just hear from upstairs, "Motherfucker, fuck, is he dead?" It's just wonderful. So,
it's awesome.
You can catch all this great stuff, plus tons of other articles, videos, podcasts, and more right now at Geekade.com. And coming soon, a brand new Geekade. It's shiny and new. Sometime in the next couple of weeks. stupid.
Foggy, what are you doing? My dog
going to law school, bitch.
Mind.
And we're back. So let's jump in the time machine and hit up 1997. November 1997. These first two ones crack me up because they're Super Nintendo games. Yeah. November of 1997, we got Space Invaders for Super Nintendo.
It's just the original one. They didn't even update the graphic. We're just like, here,
you're right.
I know. Awesome.
It's so ridiculous.
Awesome.
It's fantastic.
Because Space Invaders just, is great.
It is. And like just a few short years later, we got like a really great revamp of Space Invaders for N64 and especially Game Boy Color. Like the Game Boy Color one's amazing.
It really is.
But this was just Space Invaders.
Yeah. Yeah.
This was essentially
this was
so
low effort.
There was a Super Game Boy, a black and white Game Boy version of Space Invaders that when you played in a Super Game Boy, it like basically was the Super Nintendo version of Space Invaders. So, like, this was on a Game Boy cartridge before, and they slapped on a Super NES card and called it a day.
Charged $60 for it. Like, here you go.
Have fun. But we also got Kirby's Dream Land 3 for Super NES.
I hate Kirby.
Kirby's Dream Land 3 is a weird game. It's,
which is saying something, because it's a Kirby game.
It's a really different Kirby game, though, and I think that's kind of what makes it feel so weird. Like it's got all the trappings of a Kirby game, you know, like it's a side scroller, you can float and absorb powers, but it's very deliberately slower paced than the other games.
Okay.
Like it's got a very chalky art style. Like it's really unique looking game, and every stage has like a thing in it that you can do to help somebody. And if you don't do it, you get to like this screen at the end and whatever it is you're trying to help is just sad and you just move on because it's not usually extremely overt in what it is you're supposed to do to help that thing.
Right.
So it really encourages you to replay the stages. It's got the animal friends in it again, which also have a very strange effect on the way the game feels like as opposed to a regular Kirby game.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's very slow, very methodical, and it's got some weird cameos. Samus is in this game.
Yeah, I'm looking at the picture of Samus right now.
Like
the best she ever looked on the Super Nintendo.
You're not wrong. Cool. It's a really pretty picture.
Sprite. Yeah,
it's a really good looking sprite, and it's there's a Metroid floating around in the level, which you need the ice power up to defeat for Samus, and that's what makes Samus happy when you finish the stage. Is you beat a Metroid for her. Kirby's Dream Land 3 is a very, very weird game. It was such a late Super Nintendo game. It looks very interesting. Like the entire art style of the game is very pretty, but it's like it's not quite as pretty as Yoshi's Island, I don't think.
Right.
I think it went a little bit too far in the pastel direction, but it feels similar to like Kirby's Dream Land 2 or maybe Kirby 64, because Kirby 64 was also pretty slow. I didn't like Kirby 64 all that much, but I did like Dream Land 3. I didn't like it much at the time, but I went back and revisited it a few years back. And back when Geek Writers, when I did that Kirby retrospective thing, I sat down and gave the game a more serious try. And once I kind of learned, I kind of learned more about what it was going for, because Kirby's Adventure on NES is, I adore that game. It's a phenomenal game. And this just felt so far removed from that. I didn't really give it enough attention. And it is worth playing if you're a fan of Kirby games at all. This is might not be exactly what you expect.
This one goes for a lot of money, doesn't it?
Yeah, because it's low print run. Yeah. I don't know if like a lot of money, but it is one of the more expensive. Yeah. Let's look it up.
I thought it was. Yeah, I'm looking like there's Samus cameo and Rob.
Yep.
In there, and it does have a very cool looking art style and whatnot. But the Kirby games have just never clicked with me. So
ooh, wow, this is going for a lot of money. Loose is $90. Complete is $300.
Wow.
Hmm. That's pretty neat.
I know.
I have this game.
You should sell it.
Hell no. What condition do I have it in? I don't think I have the box. I think I just have the cart.
Sell it and give me some money to buy Magic Stones.
I'll hawk it for you. Kirby's Dream Land 3. Yeah, no box or instructions, just the cart. But my cart's in very good condition. Yay me.
There you go.
Yeah, there I go.
All right.
All right, so let's move on. Let's see. Namco Museum Volume 5 came out for PlayStation.
Okay.
This was the last one. This was O. This was...
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because the original Namco Museums, they were all spelling out the word Namco. And, oh boy, what games were on what games were on this one? This was so far past desperation. So we're looking at all-time classics, Metro Cross...
Nope.
Baraduke. Dragon Spirit, I've heard of that one.
Mm-hmm.
Pac-Mania.
Nope.
And Legend of Valkyrie.
No.
All-time classics right there. Boy, when they were planning this out, they didn't really think.
No, they didn't really think about what the end game was going to be with this one.
Because they just seemed like they ran out of things. But in Japan, there was even one more, right? There was a Volume 6. There was the Circle R.
Yeah.
I don't even know what's, what the heck's on that one.
I don't know.
Let's see, Volume 6. Like, I see pictures of it, but it's, like, small and in Japanese. I just find it hilarious that they did, like, a bonus one, and it was the freaking Circle R.
Well, all right, but... I don't even...
Anyway.
I didn't even know.
I'm giving this one more shot to see if I can find out what was on the Circle R version, and I can't see anything off the top of my head, so... Heck with it. Whatever. Let's move on. Crash Bandicoot 2 came out on PlayStation in November of 1997. I've never been a Crash Bandicoot fan myself.
Not a huge Crash fan. They're good.
This isn't one of those things where, like, I just didn't give it a shot because, oh, this is, like, PlayStation's Mario.
Yeah.
I just don't think they're very fun. I mean...
They're okay.
They're okay.
Yeah. I never thought it was... I thought the commercials were way better than the games, honestly.
Yeah, the commercials were great.
Crash Team Racing is awesome, but the mainline Crash Bandicoot games, like, everybody was so excited when that Crash Reloaded thing was coming out, and it was... Give a shit.
Same here.
Just don't care. They did do some cool stuff that wasn't necessarily being done in a lot of other games at the time, of like running towards the screen to get away from things, and you know, I mean, there were some interesting design choices that were new for the time, but I don't know, the music's good.
Yeah, just didn't grab me.
Yeah.
Then, of course, we got the masterpiece, PO'd, for PlayStation.
Yeah, well, the PlayStation version of the 3DO masterpiece.
PO'd. Which, if I'm remembering this game correctly, this is the first-person shooter about a pissed-off chef, right?
Yeah.
Yes, here we go. According to Wikipedia, PO'd is a first-person shooter using primitive weapons such as a frying pan and a drill. The player must advance through 26 levels filled with alien monsters. A jetpack is also available to facilitate the player's exploration of levels. I couldn't say it better myself. This is a game that I have always wanted to play and have never gotten around to playing.
No. I've never played it. I can't imagine I ever would. It looks fucking terrible. Bad idea.
It's about a chef. Come on.
Bad idea. And
come on.
People who made it feel bad.
Accolade doesn't make bad games. Oh wait, never mind.
Accolade doesn't make good.
Accolade exclusively makes bad games.
It's their company policy. You make shit.
Bubsy, 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 Bobcat. Anyway, then we get Monster Rancher for PlayStation. Monster Rancher turned into something weird. Like, the first game was super novel. It's like, all right, here's a monster-creating game, and you battle these monsters, and you make the monsters by putting your music CDs at your PlayStation, and then it'll randomly generate a monster based off of the sound waves that come out of... Yeah, that's what this was. Monster Rancher, the series, and just, they tried to turn Monster Rancher into Pokemon, and it just...
Right.
Ugh. Like, wasn't the whole, like, kitsch about it was that you could make your own monsters from putting music CDs in? Like,
yeah.
I don't understand.
No.
The whole Digimon, Monster Rancher, whatever non-Pokemon things that came after this that people, like, cling on to, I've never understood this.
The character designs were just not cool.
Because the whole point of them was they were randomly generated. There was no generally good... Like, this single character is, like, the Pikachu of this franchise, because that wasn't the point. But, like, they took that hideous one-eyed yellow floating thing and tried to turn that into, I guess, the game's mascot.
Yeah.
And it just... It
was a bad idea.
Yeah, bad. Bad idea.
Yeah, no. Bad and you should feel bad.
Yeah.
A cool idea. I mean...
Yeah.
Like, cool idea.
Yeah. It was a neat trick at the time.
Yeah.
NBA Live 98 came out.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Let's see.
And in that game, you played basketball.
Yeah. Well said. We also got the PlayStation version of Riven, the sequel to Myst.
Never played this one. I played Myst.
I haven't played this either. Didn't this one come on like 35 discs or something?
I think it was 37.
So in a row?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. So, like, all right. Riven, the sequel to Myst. Isn't this, like, regarded as one of the, like, biggest flops ever?
Mm-hmm.
Like, God. And I never even wanted to play this game. I'd look at this and say, I don't want any part of this.
Yeah, nobody else did either. Well, because like Myst was such a like a phenomenon, you know, like Myst came out of nowhere. Nobody was expecting Myst to just blow up and be this gigantic huge success.
Mm-hmm.
And then
game wasn't a flop. No,
but nobody liked it is from. Like, I'm sure it's sold, but I don't think anybody was happy about it.
The reviews were generally positive.
Really?
Yeah. Let's see. I'm looking at the Metacritic is 83% out of 12 reviews.
Oh, guess I'm wrong.
Yeah, I guess people did like this at the time. What's the one I'm thinking of? Is it the third Myst game?
Is there a third
that
Myst
was like,
game?
Yeah, there was a Myst 3. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Like, I know there was a game somewhere of this ilk that was just like such a colossal failure.
Maybe Myst that's it.
3.
It's a
Myst
terrible 3
Exile.
Name. Riven, the sequel to Myst.
Yeah, like that's the freaking name right there.
Like that's not great. I don't know, maybe we're both wrong.
Hmm. Yeah, it looks like Exile was one of the ones that didn't do extremely well. It looks like it wasn't a colossal failure, though. I might be thinking of some other franchise entirely, but yeah, I don't know, man. No, thank you.
Yeah, I liked Myst. It was cool.
Then we got the Sega Saturn version of Rampage World Tour, which I freaking love.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess I don't freaking love specifically the Saturn version. I think I played this mostly on N64.
Right.
But I love Rampage World Tour. That game's great.
Rampage is awesome. World Tour.
World Tour was really how you modernize a game like that.
Yeah.
They didn't change almost anything. It's like, and you have a few more attacks and it looks cooler. Have fun. Break everything.
Just break everything.
I didn't like where this series went from here. They started on all these characters and the art direction got all really crappy. And
yeah,
like I really liked the look of Rampage World Tour. It's very colorful and, you know, George, Lizzie and Ralph are just really great character designs. They're just stupid, but they're wonderful.
I am really excited.
I don't know how to feel about that movie, man.
It's going
to
be so
You had a great concept to make a comedy and they just kind of turned it into something else. And I don't see why they're calling it Rampage, because it's just, it's so tangentially related to the game at this point.
But I don't know. I'm so excited.
It does look fun. I'll tell you what isn't fun. Sonic R for Sega Saturn.
Oh, tell me about it, because not a Sonic guy.
Okay, so this is Sonic R for Saturn, which came out in November of 1997, was the Sonic racing game. It was not like the new-ish good ones. This was the foot racing game.
Oh.
Where the characters all ran as fast as they could, and it's awful.
Really, if anybody beats Sonic, that's like the end of your franchise.
Yeah.
Like, pretty he's dumb. The fastest one. You've told me that already. Why am I buying something else?
And this was like kind of doubly awful because we still hadn't gotten a 3D Sonic game on the Saturn, and we never did. You know, like we never got a proper Sonic game for Saturn. It was like, well, here's this racing game. It's not Mario Kart, but, you know, have fun with that.
I mean, the Sonic All-Stars Racing Transformed, that's excellent.
Yeah, both the Sonic All-Star Racing games were good.
That's my favorite Sonic game. Which I think says more about me than anything else, but yeah, boo hiss.
So this was fun. For PlayStation and Saturn, we got Street Fighter Collection.
Okay.
This was the first time that they had done any sort of Street Fighter compilation discs, and I don't remember what was on these. And there was a Street Fighter Collection 1 and 2. What was on the Street Fighter Collection? God, I don't remember.
I don't remember either. I don't think first I had one, this one.
The first one was Super Street Fighter 2, Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo, and Street Fighter Alpha 2 Gold. That's right. And I played this for Alpha 2 Gold. So what was in Street Fighter Collection 2? And that one didn't come out on Saturn. The first one did, but the second one did not.
Was Saturn already done by that point?
Pretty much,
the second
yeah.
one came out?
Oh, Street Fighter Collection 2 was Street Fighter 2, The World Warrior, Champion Edition, and Turbo Hyper Fighting. Great cover art on these things.
Yeah.
The cover art for both of the Street Fighter collections is gorgeous. And that's one of the coolest things about the Saturn version, because the Saturn boxes were so much bigger than PlayStation games.
Yeah.
So you just got this. Oh, God. Look up the Saturn cover art for Street Fighter Collection. And it's such a great piece of art. I love it.
I do love Street Fighter Alpha.
Oh, Street Fighter Alpha 2 Gold was so great.
So good.
And then Street Fighter Alpha 3 happened, and we're like, okay, well, I don't need to play any other Street Fighter Alpha games because this is it.
One of the few PlayStation games I have left is Alpha 3.
Alpha 3 is freaking phenomenal.
Really?
I played a lot of it on Dreamcast. I just wish the controller wasn't so bad for it.
Yeah, Dreamcast was really good for Soul Calibur and not many other fighting games.
It was like great. It ran it phenomenally.
Right.
But like the D-pad wasn't great. However, if you were an arcade stick player, the Dreamcast was, there was no argument. Like the Dreamcast was it. You had a great arcade stick for your Dreamcast and you're playing Street Fighter 3 Third Strike. And it's just like, it's phenomenal. But anyway, we're off course here. Bomberman 64 came out on N64. This is a big deal to some people.
I don't get the Bomberman thing.
I think Bomberman 64 is an action-adventure game. Like, I think it's not your traditional Bomberman game, if I'm
I think I get that even
correctly.
I mean,
Bomberman, I think we've actually talked about this in the show before. Bomberman has never really clicked with me either. I think he's a neat-looking character design, but I've never gotten into the games. And, yeah, this was a kind of a stage-based adventure game. I know a lot of people really like this. This is a very, very very adoring
passionate.
Cult following to it. I'm running out of words.
It's okay.
Also on N64, we got Diddy Kong Racing, which is responsible for one of my very favorite customer mispronunciations. I had a grandmother come into my store one day at Funko Land and ask for Diddy Kong Racing.
And Diddy Kong, that works too.
I said, I got Diddy Kong Racing. She said, no, my grandson, she showed me the list. It's written right here. It says Diddy Kong Racing. It's different.
Like, my 4-year-old knows more than you, fucking retail man.
Well, then I'm sorry. We do not carry Dippy Kong Racing here. Good luck. And she left with nothing.
What's...
I tried.
Wasn't a Conker in this?
Yeah.
He is,
this
right?
is where Conker came from originally. Yeah. It's before his solo game. I never got into this one.
No?
Nah, I never got into it.
We don't like this one. Why do we not like this one? I forget why.
It's not that I don't like it. It's, well, I didn't love the character designs. Mm-hmm. I love the Donkey Kong Country games, and I love Diddy Kong, but there was something about the pig with the cape, and I don't know. It's just not a good looking game, and I know it's supposedly very fun, but I was still really into Mario Kart at this point, and like adding the planes and stuff. It just, I know that if I really sat down and gave this a shot, I'd probably dig it because it does a lot of things like for single player as a racing game that a lot of other games like Mario Kart 64 don't do, but there was just something about it that rubbed me the wrong way. And I never got into it. And I didn't even get into it when they re-released it on, I think, original DS. Like I just didn't do it. I couldn't get into it.
I don't know. It's not Crash Team Racing. So,
so what's the point? Right. You know what else isn't Crash Team Racing? San Francisco Rush for N64.
I did not like those games.
I'm so glad you said that because I didn't either, but I know there's like a huge contingent of people that think they're the best thing ever.
Yeah.
I am not among those people. I loved Top Gear on Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
I love old racing games. I love racing games in general.
Sure.
When there's fun arcade-y style racing games. But San Francisco Rush just, again, it just struck me as so ugly. It was just boxy N64 stuff. And I keep thinking like, oh, you could jump on the, you could do like jumps off of buildings and land on other buildings. I'm like, yeah, you can, but it looks like garbage.
Yeah, anyway. It's not great.
Yeah. I'd rather play Hydro Thunder any day.
Agreed.
And even Hydro Thunder isn't like a work of art, but I dig Hydro Thunder. I think it's pretty fun. Rush, not so much. And finally, in 1997, we got WCW versus the World.
God, I fucking played this game so much. So much did I play this game. This was the first game that I played that had the AKI, the Aki wrestling system. Uh-huh. It was just fucking awesome. And like, there's so many characters, and they really only had the WCW license. So all of the other characters that were in there, and I've written about this as well on the Why I Love Wrestling section of Geekade. The other characters that were in there were obvious characters, but they couldn't, you know, they couldn't name them the obvious names, but there was a ton of New Japan guys in there, and there was a ton of like ECW guys in there, and it was it's so fucking good. I like this game a whole lot. Going back and looking at it now, it is horrendously ugly. Like horrendously so. Even for being out at that era, it is haunting to look at. But it's really good. It played really well. You could do like all of the moves were there. I was just, I loved this game. Loved this game.
Well, it's time to jump into the time machine and head back to November of 1987.
My first game in the 80s.
Was it?
I don't know. Make it up.
I don't either. First game we're going to talk about is Goonies 2 for NES. Like many other American children, I thought this was supposed to be a sequel to the first Goonies movie, not a sequel to the first Goonies game that we inexplicably didn't get here in America.
Yeah, it's very confusing. We've talked about this game a decent amount, I think, before on the show. It's a great game. This game is awesome. It is quite obtuse in a lot of parts. Yes. It has an amazing box art.
Like great music, too.
The box art is great. The music is great. The game plays really well. It's a very simple game, but I fucking love this game. Yeah, this might be something we do for a pain in the ass-a-thon.
That's a really good idea, because I've never finished this game, and I've always been meaning to.
Well, and it is a gigantic pain in the ass.
It is. It's confusing as hell.
I'm going to have to, like, practice the fucking mermaid shit There's some weird, there's just weird mermaid stuff. It's just such a strange game.
Look, I have it, and I did take a swing at it a few years ago, and I didn't really get anywhere. I kind of got frustrated and gave up, but I really want to get through this game and know it as well as I want to, because it's such a cool game. It's right. Such a... The sound in this game is so classic Konami. It's just wonderful.
Pain in the ass-a-thon. Here it comes.
We'll do it next year.
Do it live.
Let's see. We've got Jaws for NES, which I love this game.
Yeah, I like this game a lot too.
This gets a lot of flack because, all right, so Angry Video Game Nerd made a whole thing about how LJN is horrible, and so a lot
they
of
are.
Younger people on the internet who actually really don't know much about much, they took his word for it completely 100% on face value, and so all LJN games are garbage, which is not true, because Jaws for NES is not garbage.
No, it's not.
It's a pretty neat game. I mean, I don't know that you could say that it's the greatest Jaws game you could possibly imagine, but
no, that was like, the PS3 one, the PS2
yeah, where
one.
You basically just roll around as Jaws eating people.
Yeah, that's great. It's a lot of fun. No, this game's fun.
Yeah, it's like you're in a boat and you move this boat around a map screen. You're trying to go back and forth and like power up your boat, and then like you keep hitting things and you have to jump out as a scuba diver, and it just kind of turns into a little like. Not really a 2D scrolling shooter because there's no scrolling. It's just like you're on this screen, a bunch of stingrays and jellyfish are floating around. You shoot these little harpoons at them, and sometimes sharks come out, and sometimes Jaws comes out. And eventually, when you've gotten enough power-ups, you can fight Jaws to get his health all the way down. And then you have to like kind of find Jaws, and then you get into these like cool scenes where you're in a boat, and you have to stab him with the tip of your boat, and then you beat the game. It's not a long game, but it was an old NES game. It didn't have to be. And I think it's super cool. It's got great music, too.
No, I like this game quite a bit, actually. Of the LGN games, LJN game, it is probably the best. Which, again, to be fair, it really, I mean...
Yeah, it's not a high bar. Because
it's not
LJN,
a high bar.
While they didn't release exclusively garbage, most of what they did was crap.
Right.
But I think Jaws is a pretty solid game. I was very happy with this one. Also, from LJN, another game that I rather enjoy, Karate Kid.
Game's so fucking hard.
Wait,
no.
It's so interesting you say that.
Karate Kid 2 is hard. Which is
the
hard
one. Well, this incorporated stuff from Karate Kid 2.
Okay, yeah. This one's fucking hard.
It is, but this is the first game I ever beat.
That's right.
I beat this game before I beat Super Mario Brothers.
Game's really hard.
It certainly can be. I like this game. It's it reminds me a lot of Kung Fu, or Kung Fu Master.
But not as good.
It's not as good as that.
Or Black Belt.
Yeah, but it's got a lot of cool stuff to it. Now I played this game before I had seen any of the movies too. So
that's
like
weird.
The things like catching the flies and
breaking the ice.
Breaking the ice, like that didn't really mean much to me.
I'm looking at videos or pictures as we're talking, and the fucking swinging pendulums of death.
I don't remember when it was. It was way later in life, but I eventually mastered that swinging hammer thing. I finally understood what you were supposed to do, and I got the timing down. I was like, oh my God, I'm doing this. I understand what this is supposed to be now. And it was really fun. But God, every time I'd get to that bonus stage, it'd just be like one swing and then knock you off. And like, well, damn it. Well, damn it.
Well, son of a... Yeah, there are elements of this game that are really cool because it's the Karate Kid. I love the Karate Kid. But man, there are parts of this game that are just staggeringly poorly designed.
Oh, yeah, it is by no means a masterpiece, but it is also by no means a bad game.
I don't know that I agree.
I think it's genuinely fun to game. I think it looks pretty nice. And again, good music.
Yeah.
Let's see. Jaws' music was by Shinichi Sakamoto. Who did Karate Kid?
Also really excellent box art.
Yeah, pretty good box art.
LJN had good box art.
Hirohiko Takayama and Tsukasa Masuko. Yeah, I'm unfamiliar with either of those guys. I figured LJN, maybe they all worked on the same games. I don't know. So speaking of ninjas, we got Kid Nikki. What was the subtitle of this one? Radical Ninja or something?
Something like that, yeah.
This was a Data East. See, this is a game I've never played, but I always wanted to because I got a poster with my copy of Rampage for NES that had a bunch of other Data East games on it, and one of them was Kid Nikki Radical Ninja, and the box art looked awesome, and the screenshot looked awesome, and I never got around to playing this game, and there's zero excuse for me not playing it now because I own the NES cart, and I have a Raspberry Pi with this on it. I just have never sat down and tried the damn thing.
Well, see, and because our playthrough of Karnov went so well earlier this summer,
maybe I should avoid it.
Maybe. I don't know that I've ever played this one. I'm looking at it now and does not look familiar.
God, Karnov was such a piece of crap.
Oh god, it's so
bad. The game is awful.
It really was.
Karnov is well worse than Jaws and Karate Kid.
Oh god, yeah. Well worse than them. It's not even fucking comparable. Like, man, it is interesting looking at these old pictures of these games. It's one of the things I like doing about the, you know, why we do the 10, 20, 30 of, like, we thought this looked good back in the day. This looks awful.
Like, kind of does.
For NES games, it looks terrible.
So, I'm actually second guessing myself here.
Maybe we'll put this on the list for the next summer series.
No, this came out originally in 19... All right. The next game on our list is Shinobi hit the arcades in November of 1987.
A lot of ninjas in 1987. Maybe it was my favorite year.
And people were really into ninjas in the 80s.
Ninjas, you know.
The Shinobi is another one of those games that I didn't have a ton of experience with. I liked playing it on my friend's Master System back in the day, but... Mm-hmm. The game never really caught me from the Master System version. It wasn't until later that I tried the arcade game that I was like, oh, okay, Shinobi's pretty rad. This is a neat game.
I adore Shinobi. I love
the throwing star stages. Super cool.
I love the arcade game. I love the Master System shit. I love the fucking PS2 remake. The stupid long scarf.
Yeah, that scarf thing was awesome.
Oh, I fucking love this game. It looks so good.
Yeah. This awesome. I think the original Shinobi games still hold up. They're pretty darn good.
They're just fun. Like, it's such a ridiculous story.
You're just walking around rescuing kids.
You're a fucking ninja cop. I'm a cop. Also a ninja. Not the game Ninja Cop. It's an entirely different but awesome.
Totally different animal.
So good though. Really, Shinobi's one of those games. Like, if you've never played Shinobi, I don't know how well it holds up without the nostalgia, but like as just a side-scrolling 2D action game, fucking rad.
It is. And like you've as soon as you get to the throwing star stage, like there's no way you can't be enthralled at that point because the throwing star stages are awesome.
This is awesome.
So we also got from Data East on NES Side Pocket.
Mm-hmm. It's a good pool game.
Yeah, it's a good pool game. I don't really know why I put this on here.
It's kind of hard to fuck those up.
Yeah. Lunar Pool was cooler. Because it was like pool on the moon.
Yeah, well, I mean, how I...
But, yeah.
I mean, that was one of those weird things like that we got back in NES-style games or NES-era games of like, we're just going to make a video game out of really anything. Anything you can think of. Like, there's not a great new pool game coming out. You know what I mean? But back in the, like, late 80s and early 90s, there were 50 different pool games that you could pick from. It's ridiculous.
Because why not?
It's just pool. Just virtual pool. Go play pool. Data's terrible. Other than the RoboCop game and Ring King.
I tell you what you should not play is the last game we're going to talk about tonight is Super Pitfall for NES.
Ooh.
This game is such a piece of shit.
I wanted to like it so bad.
Me too, because this Pitfall and Pitfall 2 on Atari was really, really cool. And all right, now we're going to do Pitfall on NES, and it's so bad. It's so bad.
I remember when my cousin got Super Nintendo before I did, and he got the bundle that came with Legend of Zelda, and he got what am I thinking of on the Super Nintendo?
You're thinking of Pitfall: The Mayan Adventure, which I actually do dig that game.
Yeah, sorry, I'm really tired.
Yeah, we're talking Super Pitfall for NES, which is,
got confused. Yeah, this is,
the graphics are as rudimentary as the first Super Mario Brothers, but the art direction is complete garbage.
Yeah,
so it doesn't look as good as that. The music is kind of obnoxious,
mm-hmm.
and when an Atari 2600 game's music is better than your NES game's music,
you've got a real problem.
You done fucked up, Aaron. And it's just awful. Like, they made Pitfall Harry look like a ripoff of Mario.
They really did.
It's got a terrible frame rate. It is a cheap piece of crap game. It's complete swill.
This is really horrible.
And I remember renting it and being really excited to play it because the cover art's cool. It's Pitfall, but for NES.
Yeah.
So I was like all excited, like I can't wait to see what they did with this. This is really, stop. And what the hell happens when you die in this game? Like, you die and you just start spinning around in midair or something. Like,
yeah, it's
really weird too. And it doesn't do it like, you know, like Mario and Donkey Kong. He does that little like spin around thing and then he lays on his back for a second. It's just like, you just start doing this weird thing. And then it starts you over with, like, fewer lives. It's just so weird. I played so much of this game looking for something good in it, and it just never happened.
It has none of the soul and none of the spirit of Pitfall.
You know, like, it's just crap. I wonder if David Crane have anything to do with this game? I sincerely hope not.
It's just generic and shitty.
Because David Crane's awesome. Who made this game?
Yeah, developers. I hate that we're ending on such a sour note.
We really are.
Yeah.
Because, God, this game's crap.
There was developed the balloon thing in
Micronics.
This one. You floated around with a balloon.
Oh, my God, that's right. Oh, it is. Oh, wow.
And the swimming, this fucking, oh, God. Yeah, this game is awful. I don't really like the Mayan Adventure one either. Going with that too, I was pretty disappointed in that one.
I liked it. I didn't love it as much as I wanted to, but I did like it, and I especially liked like the special ending where you save your dad, the original Pitfall Harry, who looks exactly like the 2600 sprite, chained to a giant stone. That shit's hilarious. Someday we'll talk more about the Mayan Adventure, but I really like the look of the game. It animates great. It looks really, really, really nice, especially on the Super Nintendo.
I might have to go back and play it. The Genesis
one looks nice. I remember being really disappointed in the Jaguar version because didn't look any better than the Super Nintendo game.
I just remember being disappointed because I was playing a game on the
Jaguar. Not a great system. Glad I own one, but yeah. It's a big, big miss from Atari.
Like saying, glad I have herpes. I mean, you know. Are you, though?
Are you?
But are you really?
Well, that wraps it up. There's our 10-20-30 for November. And we'll be back doing 10-20-30 real soon for December, because we're in December, and it's a month full of stuff. But that's our show. Join us next week for a news wrap-up. There's been a lot going on in the world of video games, and Dan and I would like to talk about some of it. We're going to compile a list, including the big casting news for Detective Pikachu,
mm-hmm.
the single most important. Anyway, once again, you can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com, as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. Like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram at Geekade, subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content, and follow us on Twitter at @_Geekade. You can also find us individually on Twitter. I'm at Geekade Chris, that's Geekade, KRIS, and Dan, you are available at
Geekade Dan.
If you're interested in more information about anything we discussed here tonight, be sure to check out our show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes or Stitcher. Or if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. We'd also like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for not being here tonight, being off doing more important things than sitting here listening to me and Dan. But he will eventually edit the show and make it listenable for all you folks. And we'd also like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme. You can check him out on SoundCloud and Bandcamp, or his website, which we have a link to in the show notes. Again, always remember to keep your eyes on geekade.com, where we post stuff.
Much more frequently soon.
Yes, much more frequently soon. And funner, which isn't a word.
More funner.
More funner. Gooder.
Geekade 2.0. More funner.
3.0, actually. We're already in 2.0.
Geekade 2.1.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. On behalf of Dan and myself, keep playing games.